The Business Buzz Podcast.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VAWFM 88.1. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaz and I'll be your host as we get you entertained and enlightened about the world of business right here on your favorite the student radio station. We are broadcasting live from our studios right here in Bramfontein, Johannesburg. And I can safely say this is my first show for the year and I'm definitely, you know, happy to be back in studio and to usher you guys into the world of business. Otherwise, for today, it's going to be quite an interesting one because if I am correct, tomorrow should be International Women's Day. So we thought that we would take a look at what the world of business is looking like where women are concerned. What type of progress have they made? We know that inclusion has always been a bit of an issue, and we're going to be talking to a number of ladies just around what it means to be in business in 2019. So that's what the show is going to be looking like. We're going to be having a couple of guests for the next hour or so, and we're going to be here until about 7 p.m. Also coming up on the show, we're going to be talking a little bit around the business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And then we will be giving you the Buffalo Index as we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. Remember that you can find us on social media. That's the Voice of Wits on Facebook, VAWFM, and also the Wits Radio Academy on Twitter. We are at VAWFM. Our hashtag is hashtag BusinessBuzz. And our WhatsApp line is 0840784912. You can also stream the session live on vawfm.co.za. And remember that podcast of the Business Buzz Show will be available on wits.journalism.co.za/business. Make sure you keep it locked. We're here until about 8 p.m. On the other side of this, we get into the business wrap.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. On the line, I'm joined by a new addition to the Business Buzz family. We're joined on the line by a financial expert. We're joined by Lebo Pasha, who is a strategy and management consultant for FarmSol. How are you, Lebo?
Hi, Mudiwa. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. So I understand that this week there's been some figures that have been released. Apparently, we are growing slightly better than what was expected. Can you shed some light on this for us?
Exactly. The real GDP growth numbers are 1.4 for the final quarter of 2018 and 0.8% for the year, was slightly ahead of expectation. The finance, real estate, and business sectors were the main drivers of the outperformance. However, the construction sector shrunk alarmingly. It suffered its worst decline in two decades, with construction production shrinking 1.2%. And this is the sector's biggest decline since 1999. When the sector shrunk 1.9%. The other problem with the economy is the mining sector, which shrunk 1.7% year-on-year, with the biggest challenges faced by the mining sector being high input costs, protracted low commodity prices, labor disputes, and most recently, load shedding. And this comes a week after the U.S. missed its own 3% GDP growth target set by President Trump by a percentage point.
So, I was actually about to ask you. You can continue. I was just going to ask. So, what does this mean for us?
This means not so good news. It means, especially with the 3% target missed by the US.
Yeah.
A lot of the money that goes into buying assets in emerging markets comes from the US, and a slowdown in the US economy reduces the amount of money available for this investment into emerging markets, including South Africa.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to have a negative impact on emerging markets like ours. And yeah, it is definitely not good news for us. And remember as well, the backdrop to it as well is that this is below the GDP growth numbers that we need to sustain jobs in our economy. So this means South Africa will continue to shed jobs into the foreseeable future.
Okay, and then on that, I think when it comes to the economy, on growth and all of that stuff, we tend to also, we need a way to power all of this stuff. And I understand that Eskom, our national regulator, has been in a bit of trouble. Have there been any updates on that?
Yes, there's definitely been some big updates today. Eskom itself has been announcing increased risks of load shedding the whole of this week. So for a third consecutive day this week, Eskom issued a warning to South Africans that there was a high risk of load shedding as the grid was still under significant pressure. And we're starting to hear more industry players trying to link the increased incidence of load shedding around this time of the year with the impending NERSA decision on Eskom's 15% price increase application.
Yeah.
So that is the big news today, the NERSA announcement on the price increases. NERSA has given Eskom 9.4%, 8.1%, and 5% increases over the next 5 years, next 3 years, compared to Eskom's request of 15% over the next 3 years.
So in terms of us, the ordinary South Africans, what's our, of the percentages that you've just mentioned, which one is most applicable to us buying electricity for our homes?
I think the most applicable one would definitely right now be the 9.4% coming through from April. But you had a lot of opposition from the business, labor, and civil society organizations, because even going beyond buying electricity for your home, you had a lot of warnings around what a higher tariff means for the economy. So, for example, in the mining sector, if Eskom got its 15% requested increase, the mining sector alone was expected to shed close to 150,000 jobs due to the increased cost of electricity, making mining operations unprofitable. So the effects go way beyond the household.
Okay, and then lastly, I understand that there was a young person from this very university who actually won a competition reflecting on the issues that some of the issues that you've been talking about in the economy.
Yes, Banning Nape. The Nedbank All Mutual Budget Speech Essay competition is run every year. It's in its 47th year this year. And the competition is held annually to identify South Africa's brightest economic minds. The essay competition is structured in the form of a question, and the question is posted to undergraduate and postgraduate students in the economic streams of South African academic institutions. For 2019, the question was around disciplined fiscal policy, whether it exists in South Africa. If not, what could be done to improve fiscal policy? So fiscal policy is mainly around the budgeting of the government. And the winning essay by Banning Nape looked at simplified ways for the government to improve fiscal policy and policy discipline as well, with some of the highlights being things like solving the SOEs crisis led by the issues at Eskom, reducing political and policy uncertainty, so making sure investors feel comfortable investing in our economy, strengthening policy coordination between monetary and fiscal policies of South Africa. So this is linking the government and its budgetary policies together with the Reserve Bank and the Reserve Bank's view on the economy. And the other one was it focused on fighting corruption and the impact that corruption has on slowing down our growth as a country. And the final one, which I think is quite topical and should be topical quite soon, is stabilizing government debt and the government's debt rating as well, because Moody's is the only rating agency that still rates us at investment grade.
Yeah.
If we slip on that front, we will definitely move to junk status with the resulting consequences.
So that was us on the line. We were talking to to Lebo Pasha, who is our financial expert, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the big news of the week is the fact that South Africa's GDP for 2018 for the year came in at 0.7%. And then the other thing that's happening is the fact that Eskom actually received some answers from NERSA just around what the tariff hikes are going to be looking like for this year. And then you heard there's the young person who actually won an essay writing competition talking about the economy. So young people, you know, get involved in the economy, do the thought pieces, and then let's do the things. On the other side of this, we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to tell you the state of your 100 Rand with our Buffalo Index. That's a part of the show where we let you know what 100 Rand can do for you. And since we are talking women in business, women in the economy, women in commerce, women in corporates, I just thought that it would be interesting to get a list of some books that can be used as inspiration or motivation by the ladies out there. From finding your purpose in life to maximizing your maternity leave to rethinking how to be a female boss. Here are just some business books for the ladies. So the first one is called The Multi-Hyphen Method by Emma Gannon. It's a book that costs just over 300 Rand, which means it's about three buffaloes. Then we've got The Working Woman's Handbook by Phoebe Lovett, which is coming in at just around 250 Rand. Then you have Purpose, Find Your Truth and Embrace Your Calling by Jessica Yui, coming in at just over two buffaloes. And then we have Mom Boss by Vicky Sayeris, which is coming in also around two buffaloes. And then Secrets of Successful Sales by Allison Edgar, coming in at about 2.5 buffaloes. And then we have How to Be a Virtual Assistant by Catherine Goldwyn, which is just over 1.5 buffaloes. And then this one has an interesting title. It's called Strip Naked and Redress with Happiness by Maria Hawking, which is coming in at just below 1.5 buffaloes. And then the last one is one called Beta, Quiet Girls Can Run the World by Rebecca Holman, which is coming in at just under 3 buffaloes. So that's a nice book list for, you know, the ladies out there, even the gents. You need to read, you know, some of these things so that you can understand what's actually going out there, what's actually going on out there. Because I'll let you know that ladies actually know and understand certain things much better than we men do. If anything, they are way more organized than we are. So it might be worth looking into. On the other side of this, we are going to continue our conversation. We're going to be having a nice engagement with Lungile, just around what it means from the Development Bank of South Africa. So keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
Remember that today we are talking about women in business as we commemorate International Women's Day this week. And before we get into the main topic for the night, remember that on Facebook you can find us. That's Vow FM, the Voice of Fits. And you can also find our other Facebook page. That's Fits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at Vow FM, and our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So as we begin our discussion, we're actually joined on the line by Lungile Mashele, who is from the Development Bank of Southern Africa, and they are an energy specialist and development economist, and we're just going to be talking about what it means to be in this industry. How are you, Lungile?
Hi, I'm greeting you, and an awesome evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much for being on the show. As we begin our discussion, could you please briefly highlight the importance of having entrepreneurial activity in the country and how that actually boosts the economy? I think we hear all the time that SMEs and all of that is the way forward, but in your view?
So the value of entrepreneurs cannot be overstated at all. That is how industries begin. You need great minds, you need ideas, you need innovators, people who come into a space and revolutionize an entire industry. If you look at the companies we have today versus what we had 10, 15 years ago, they're completely different. There's no stock count, there's no overhead, they are global, they're entering into different areas. There's lots of exciting things, and entrepreneurs are actually what are going to take us forward.
And then moving on, though, to what it means to be a lady in the economy, I wanted to understand, because you are an energy specialist for the DBSA, do you feel that there are enough women in your industry?
Oh, absolutely not. There is an underrepresentation of epic proportions. It's not uncommon for me to go to sites and be the only woman amongst a group of like 30 men. And primarily, you know, one can give a number of different reasons, such as skills and ability to travel and flexibility and work-life balance, you know, as an excuse. But ultimately, there just isn't a drive to get women into the space at all. And even when you do find women, the industry is unforgiving and it's harsh, and it doesn't really allow you to have that work-life balance that you require. Even if you do, it will come at a cost, and the cost is often at your career.
And then ahead of that, do you think there should be more done to actually advocate for the application of maybe more gender-based female participation in industries and in entrepreneurship?
I actually encourage both, whether it's in business or in corporate or in entrepreneurship. Ultimately, entrepreneurs still need to come to corporate to get funding, to get advisory services, to get legal, economists, you know, there's just a whole suite of people that they can access. And if those people in those industries that they're going to are not women, I can guarantee you now it's going to be very difficult for them to stay there in places. And so what it does, and I'm grateful for this in the South African context, is that we've started to form a very strong bond amongst women and to support each other. And we're starting to now enforce that when you come through, we want to see women participation. We want to see women ownership. We want to see black youth owned. We want to see youth owned entrepreneurs. So government made it very clear that these are the targets that they're trying to chase. And if anything, this is what should be accomplished. Whether it's corporate, you know, entrepreneurship, how they tender, how we procure, it's become the norm. Now, is this the ideal way? Absolutely not. It should be something that is inculcated and that we do on a natural level. Unfortunately, it's not. And this is why I'm so grateful also that government had to step in and has made it and has actually now begun to legalize it and said, this is what you have to do. And this is how you will get business in this country.
Actually, on that point, I was going to ask, what do you think are some of the shortcomings in the way that some of this advocacy is actually being done, whether it's in procurement, whether it's management positions, you know, and the like? What do you think some of the shortfalls are in the way that things are being implemented at the moment?
So, you know, in as much as you can have the greatest policies and legalities around everything and black women and women and, you know, participation, there will always be people that will try and find a loophole. Now, it doesn't say it must be 100% women-owned, so you'll probably find that all you have to do is 50 plus 1% women-owned. So they'll probably find a woman to come in front for them for a couple of weeks while they attend meetings, they do tenders. Years ago, those women, they used to be known as the 5%ers, because they would come in, they'd get a 5% share, and then they'd simply walk away. And the company that you're dealing with after that is a completely different entity. Mm. So there are definitely some shortcomings that we do see, but it's about monitoring, evaluation, enforceability, and over and above that, you need to have punitive measures in place. So it's not enough just to say, but this is happening, there's nothing we can do. No, go cancel their contract, blacklist them, blackball them, and say, we're not doing business with these companies anymore. Unless you're completely transformed, we want nothing to actually do with you.
Do you by any chance have some statistics just around what ratios look like in terms of female-owned businesses relative to male in South Africa or around the world, or corporate representation?
Oh, not at all. I would not have the exact numbers, but just by looking at the industry in which we participate in, I get very few women entrepreneurs coming or women-owned companies coming in and requesting funding or requesting assistance or advisory, you know, of any sort. It's still typically male-dominated, and particularly white male-dominated at that. So there's a huge gap that needs to be filled. There's a huge space where women can actually play, but for a number of structural factors, unfortunately, they're unable to access that space.
But coming back to your particular industry, because you did highlight at the beginning that you often find yourself as being the only woman in a lot of situations. How could you possibly tell our young lady audience what it is that you actually do as an energy specialist and development economist? Perhaps you might inspire someone who's actually who's looking. You know, advanced. Yes. When people are young, they're not sure what do I need to do with my life. You know, maybe they'll want to pursue this.
Absolutely. So, from my side, I followed a very conventional approach. However, my career took a very unconventional approach. So, I started off my whole student life has been at the University of Johannesburg.
Yeah.
And I did my BCom in economics and econometrics. And after that, I did insolvency law. And then I did cost engineering, but this was at an overseas institution. I then did my BSc honors in energy, and then my master's in energy, which I'm completing at the moment.
That's a lot of degrees.
That is a lot of degrees. But then again, it speaks to the fact that as a woman, you're certainly not going to walk in with one degree and people are going to clap their hands. There's an expectation that you should be more and do more, you know, and which is wrong. But unfortunately, that is what permeates. And this is what has to keep us going and pushing the boundaries, even, you know, even though we are perfect just as we are. So you then typically find that what I do on a day-to-day basis, I appraise energy projects across the continent. So working for the Development Bank of Southern Africa, we finance infrastructure projects in energy, ICT, water and transport across the whole of Africa. So my portfolio looks at energy across Africa. And from the technical side, I then appraise projects. So I look at, is the project feasible? Is it going to work? I look at the engineering drawings. If it's, for instance, a hydro plant, I look at the hydrology. Is there enough water for this plant to run for 20, 50 years? Looking at the fuel source, where's the fuel going to come from? Is it gas? Is it coal? Are we using solar, renewables? Going to each country, and you're basically appraising a project from the engineering side, but from the economic side as well. And that's what I do. I think it's an extremely exciting job. To be very honest, I think I have one of the best jobs in the world.
Oh, wow.
I get to travel a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. But that also does come at a cost. And I know that there are a number of young women out there listening and who are thinking, oh, well, I could do that, and I'd love to do that. However, it comes at a cost. I look at my colleagues who are women as well. Very few of us are actually married. Very few of us have children. Work-life balance, I think depending on whether you are working for a commercial bank or a DFI is debatable. But it's a lot of hard work. It's very rewarding as well.
Yeah.
Salaries are great, bonuses are great. If you perform, it's performance-based. But then again, there's a lot of sacrifices that go into it. It's sleepless nights. You're literally working away from home for weeks at a time. You're in foreign countries, foreign food, it's foreign beds. But it's exciting also. Ultimately, it is exciting if that's what you're into.
So for your particular industry, not per se what you do, but the work that you are involved in, you said that you actually get to travel a lot, and I'm guessing that you travel a lot on the continent.
Absolutely.
How would you say female participation is on the rest of the African continent as compared to South Africa?
Oh, it's vastly different, vastly. So you typically find that in your West African country, you have far more women participation, and they are not seen as backstops or people that you just have to look good. I mean, outside of South Africa, things like quotas and affirmative action, they don't exist. It's just assumed that everyone has an equal playing field. So you'll typically find that there are far more women entrepreneurs. There are far more youth-owned companies. It's very easy for you working in the West African space to come across billionaires that are in their 30s. And not from shady things or anything, but purely because they've applied their skills, they've applied their education, and they've come up with innovative ideas that are developing the entire country, adding infrastructure, growing them also and their country.
So that was us on the line. We're having an enlightening discussion with Lungile Mashele, who is from the Development Bank of Southern Africa. She is an energy specialist and development economist. And my takeaway from what she does, she did say to us that she has one of the best jobs in the world. She gets to travel and evaluate projects. And you heard that on the rest of the African continent, particularly in West Africa, you have women participation is on a different level to what it is in South Africa, and quotas aren't even a thing there. It's just assumed that women know what they're doing and the economy just goes forward like that. Very enlightening. On the other side of this, we're going to continue on the entrepreneurship tip, and we're going to be talking to some lady entrepreneurs, so keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
We are joined on the line by Dipuo Mukodi, who is a fashion designer. How are you, Dipuo?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. She is our second guest for tonight. We are talking about women in business, women in the economy, entrepreneurship and commerce. So we are about to get in touch. We're about to understand what she does. She is the founder of Dude. How do I pronounce this? Dude Mpenzo.
It's Dudu Mpenzo.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
There we go.
Dudu Mpenzo.
So can you just give us just a brief highlight of what it is that you do and how it came about?
Basically, I can say I'm a stylist. That's the front line of my business, basically.
Yeah.
But the brand itself is Dudu Mpenzo Fashion Consulting. That is the umbrella. And then I do styling, I do design, I create, I sketch, basically get into the complete look for the client.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how did you actually get into it? I think, you know, in terms of career paths, I don't know, like, would you say it's something that's usual?
Okay, basically I have a finance background, which I did study in school, but fashion has always been bugging me, I can say, looking at, like, I've always known how to put pieces together and the way I present myself in terms of my dressing. So it really happened in 2016 when I guess it was the right time when I decided to just, you know what, because I've been getting compliments and requests from people that I live with and people in general to say, how do you do it?
Yeah.
And then I decided to I can make something out of this. So I officially registered the business in 2016.
Something that your business seems to touch on is, as a stylist, you're concerned with the appearance of a person. How important is that, you know, in 2019, whether it's for looking professional or looking appropriate for different events and the like? And what sort of a reaction have you had for your own business in terms of getting clients and customers? You know, are people actively seeking out stylists? When do they look for stylists? And what type of people tend to be your customers?
You know, in this business, basically, you have to identify your market. It's very crucial.
Yeah.
But generally, looking quite professional is the way to go. In 2019 especially, I mean, it's happening. Fashion is just in the forefront, and how you present yourself says a lot about you. It's no longer about just getting out there and assuming that we will hear what you have to tell us. So it's very crucial to find your signature, to find your style, to find the way you want people to address you. So my approach to my market is to look professional, is to look presentable, is to look comfortable, and to speak volumes in the way you are dressed.
Mm.
So I get a lot of positive response, and then it's a pity people are still left behind in terms of consulting. you go to your tailor and you get what you want, and that's a bit backwards, because most of the time you find clients bringing pictures for you to duplicate, and it's quite a killer in the fashion business to duplicate the other person's work. So fashion consulting, as it is, it helps you to identify what can work for you as a person, because you don't always have to say a word to be heard. Sometimes the way you look, you can feel a lucrative deal, man. I mean, just by looking at you, there's one person in particular. I always look at Vusi Tembekwayo. That guy is power. Just looking at him, you just see magic. You just see power. So that's my point of view in terms of this whole business.
And what's your advice for someone who wants to perhaps get into your industry? That's one. And then what type of advice would you have for someone who's actually looking for a stylist themselves? Because I don't think all stylists are made the same, and that all of them know what they're doing.
Correct. For me personally, it's something that fortunately I was born with. I find it to be a pure talent that I was given.
Yeah.
But there's institutions that do offer lessons. Like for one, I am currently studying with the one in Cape Town, Academy of Fashion Styling. I'm doing personal styling there. So they do offer training and your certificates. They do host some seminars to give you some formal platform of how you can do it. But you must have natural passion for it. It's like servicing a normal client. You must have passion for client service if you want to maintain a good business relationship. So in fashion is the same. It's like having that personal touch with your client, because you get to the most sensitive issues, like the body shape, you know, the personality, the character. They all add into personal and fashion styling. Because you must have that. You must have that. And it's very important to identify the weakness of your client and their insecurity.
Yeah.
For you to be able to identify what can look good for them.
Yeah. Okay. So that was us all on the line. We're talking to Dipumo Kodi, who is a stylist. And she was telling us the fact that looking professional in 2019 is the way forward, that most of the time you need to seek advice before you actually go and get some of your clothes made. Something that I found interesting about her is just the story that she had, that she actually had a finance background, and she's actually used that to parlay into a career as a stylist. So, very interesting story. And just after the break, we're going to be having our last guest. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
More justice on The Business Buzz.
Welcome back to The Business Buzz. We are talking about the ladies in the economy, ladies in commerce, as we commemorate International Women's Day, which is this week. Our final guest for this evening is Tsepiso Piri, who is in marketing. How are you, Tsepiso?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
No, I'm alive. I'm well. So can you tell us and our listeners what it is that you are involved in and how you found yourself there?
Well, I own a boutique below the line agency called Known Associates.
Yeah.
And I found myself here because I've always been passionate about marketing.
Yeah.
I started my career at the
world famous North Sea Jazz Festival, currently known as Cape Town International Jazz Festival.
Yes.
In their marketing department.
Yes.
And so, as I said, the rest is history.
And what would you say that you love the most about your job?
What I love about my job is that I actually get to influence people's decision-making on a daily basis, whether it is about their leisure or their business,
yeah.
or it is about what they're going to consume,
yeah.
Be it food, be it their petrol. And I love being part of that.
Yeah. And because this week we are commemorating International Women's Day, we wanted to maybe get a sense or an understanding from you in terms of your industry, advertising, marketing, and the like. What is women representation looking like in 2019?
Well, I think it's changing fast.
Yeah.
I think it's still predominantly a boys' game, and this is what I call the boys' club. I believe that in terms of the leadership in my industry is still very male dominated, but I think as women we are becoming part of the change, and very drastically. And there's some exciting women-led agencies that are coming up, like Riverbed, owned by Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Which has she's actually been recently chosen as the most loved agency leader on Mark's Live. So
yeah.
It's quite exciting. I think that the change is coming on, and it's coming on quite strongly. And watch this space.
There's actually something, perhaps you can speak to this for us. I heard an interesting statistic, maybe not statistic, but an interesting fact the other day, just around the fact that as advertisers or as marketers, apparently you have become sort of management consultants in terms of actually helping businesses strategize about, you know, products and development, because you have to study the customer so much. You know, what's your opinion on this?
Well, the reality is, you know, you can't just start talking to marketing or advertising at the final end of your sort of product development or brand development process. So yes, it's become important that you get the marketing and advertising involved from a business strategy point of view. Because as soon as we understand the business, we are able to advise clearly as to how the market will respond to it, which consumers would be interested in, and if it's the right product to even bring out.
Yeah. And further, further from that, how has social media, changed the way in which the industry works? I think our young listeners will be listening keenly to this answer, because I think people are looking at social media as a way to cut out middlemen, saying to themselves, why should I be, you know, going through, let's say, a formal agency when I can just go and put myself out there like that. But for you, what would you say to such a person? Because, you know, we understand that professionals are the way forward. But for someone who has that contrary view, what would you say?
Well, I actually just believe that what social media or the digital space has done is we created a whole new expansion of careers into the industry. So there are new sort of titles, job titles that didn't exist 10, 15 years ago that respond to the social media growth space. And second to that is that, you know, when it's all said and done, unless you've got a clear communication strategy, you can try traditional, digital, social media, but you might fail. Because firstly, you've got to understand what it is that you're trying to communicate to your audience.
Yeah.
So before we go on jumping and setting up our Facebook pages or our Instagram pages, what's important is that we must have a strategy, and we must be able to see how the strategy rolls out. And social media is a big part of it. But again, it's only successful based on a great strategy and a clear path
as to how you achieve those objectives that come out of your strategy.
On the same point of achieving set goals and set goals and objectives for yourself, how would you advise young women who might have that goal and ambition to actually become a marketer or an advertiser for themselves in their own lives, so, you know, perhaps start an agency one day? What type of advice from your experience would you give?
I think you've got to keep your feet on the ground. I think you must be in the know what's happening around your space, and the space that your friends are in, your family, where you come from. And for me, I read everything. I read all the time.
Yeah.
So people think, oh my gosh, you're so boring. I've got two books in my handbag, one in my laptop bag, and at any given point, I am on that social media reading, because you've got to learn.
Yeah.
And you know, part of it is also just being able to talk to people, random people. You know, sometimes you sit, whether you're sitting at a bus stop or in the taxi, and if you want to be in marketing, advertising, you've got to be knowledgeable about people.
Yeah.
We are in the business of selling ideas to people.
Yeah.
And you've got to understand what people want,
yeah,
how they want it, and when they want it.
What are you reading right now, and why?
Okay, I'm reading quite a few books. I'm reading a book, and a lot of them by women.
Yeah.
So I'm reading a book called Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. And I'm reading it because she really is a great advocate and teacher around leadership.
Yeah.
And leadership from an emotional point of view. You know, the way I think a lot of our African leaders don't even think about leadership. Leadership where you can lead from the heart,
yeah,
even though you're using your mind.
Yeah.
So I'm quite enjoying it. I'm also reading a book called, it's by Beth Comcast, who used to be the vice president of GE. And it's called Imagine It Forward.
Yeah.
And that is just about building organizations, taking them forward, giving yourself permission to do things that are sort of out of the safe space, and being able to really build, even though people will come at you and say, well, this is not how we do it, this is not the culture of this organization, and being able to change cultures and influence change in big organizations and small organizations. So I'm in a space where I'm learning leadership, I think, and I'm also in a space where I'm learning how to balance my life. So I'm reading a book called Make Time. Sorry, I can't remember the authors of it, which is really cool. It just teaches me how I can, you know, expand my time beyond the 24 hours that I have available and possibly the 16 hours or 18 hours that I'm possibly working, and finding a work-life balance for my business, my children, my friends, my family. So, yeah.
Mm. That was us on the line with Tsepiso Puri. Very interesting. She is reading at least 5 books right now, from what I could tell on that list. And it's very interesting the way that, you know, she actually has a different book for the different things that she's trying to focus on in her own life, you know. So I thought that was actually very, very interesting. And something interesting that I found that she said was the fact that as businesses, you now have to involve marketing and advertising from the beginning when it comes to product development. So as a business, you need to get involved with the marketers from the get-go, because those are the people who actually understand the customer and what the customer wants, and if they don't, they will go and find out. So that's that. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
And with that, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening to us through the last hour. We were talking about women women in business, women in the economy, as we commemorate International Women's Day this week. Thank you so much to all the guests that we had on the show. Thank you so much to Lungile. Thank you so much to Diwopo. Thank you to Lebo, who gave us our business wrap earlier. And thank you to Lungile, the three entrepreneurs who let us know just a little bit around what's going on in their lives, their industry, and what it means to be a woman doing the things in 2019. Some big takeaways from me personally. I think, as you can see, there are some strong, powerful women that are coming out into industry, whether it's corporate or whether it's in the entrepreneurial space. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a space that really needs, there's a lot of room for transformation, and we're going to be seeing it more and more across the board. Otherwise, that brings us to the end of the show. Remember that you can keep in touch with us on social media. We are Facebook. On Facebook, we are Vow FM. That's Voice of Fits. And you can also find our other Facebook page. That's Fits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we are at Vow FM. And then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And then 08407-84912. That is our WhatsApp line. You can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. And remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've come to the end of tonight's show. Thank you so much to our producers, our executive producer, that's Simba Honde, together with our producer Gloria Mabuza. Our technical producer is Kotluano Gwench Sirame. Gwench, my man. But with that, we've come to the end of the show. As I said, don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place, next week for more into the world of business. Remember that the Business Buzz is sponsored by Absa. Coming up next, we have Living Electro. And then for myself, Mudio Mob Justice Kavaza, is good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.